In our lesson this morning, we talked about the fact that today is the last Sunday of 2021. Another year has been spent. We never get it back. As we live our lives, each one of these years represents a milepost between the time we are born and the time that we will leave this life when we die. And preparing for that day that we die is God's highest interest. He so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. He watched Jesus as they crucified him, spat upon him, mistreated him, did all sorts of terrible things to him because he wanted to save us. He wanted us to be with him in heaven. But the standards by which he wants us to be with him are the critical difference between those who are going to be saved and those who are going to be lost. And so every year we need to take stock. Here's what God says we should be. Where are we? If God says we should be here, but we're not here, what steps do we want to take so that next year we can be closer to where we need to be? But this afternoon I was thinking about what would be the best way for us to make a decision about any changes that we want to make this year. And I think the global thing that I'd like to talk about tonight is kind of encapsulated in the title, which is Jesus our Lord? Or maybe I should rephrase that. Is Jesus really our Lord? The people of America call this a Christian nation. The people in America see themselves as disciples of Jesus. And it encompasses all sorts of different degrees of commitment. Some people say Jesus is their Lord. They never come to church services. They never read the Bible. They never pray. They never really give the Lord any care or consideration. But when you ask them, they'll say, yes, Jesus is my Lord. When Jesus was preaching about this, he said this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say?" Now, that's an important question. If you apply for a job and your boss says, look, if you apply for this job, I have to have someone who will meticulously do everything that I say. And so we say, well, I'll do that. And so he becomes our boss and we go to work the next day and he tells us you need to do this, 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 and this. Well, we look at everything he says and we say, you know, I think I could do this better. And so we make a subtle change and we get a lot more done. But when the boss comes in later, he says, oh no, you've ruined everything. I told you it had to be done exactly this way, and you said that you would. Jesus is master, not only of the material creation, but also of the spiritual creation. He understands things that we don't understand. Jesus knows things that we don't know. He understands the dangers. He understands the things that we need. And when we say, I want Jesus to take over my life, I want Jesus to be my Lord, we're putting our souls and our lives in his hands. And so this question becomes very poignant and very important. If we're going to call Jesus Lord, then what area of our life would we say, well, I don't want to do that? If Jesus came down from heaven to reveal the will of God, and we acknowledge that he did that, then this is a very, very important question. And so he's not going to be Lord in name only unless we make that decision. In other words, Jesus is my Lord. But then something comes along I don't want to do. Something comes along I don't like to do. Something comes along that I don't really understand why I should have to do that. The people who trust and obey are his genuine disciples. And so the quotation that you hear so much in the world today is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As I noted in the introduction, God has given us a tremendous gift, a gift beyond our ability to comprehend. It manifests his love to us, but it also reveals the terrible cost of sin. If Jesus had to die for our sins, then sin must be a terrible thing. Because God loves his Son, and God loves us, And God was willing to save us through the death of his son. And so when we look at this verse, we need to understand something. And that is that it isn't just those who call me Lord. My son, my God paid the ultimate cost for your salvation. He bought you. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. When we are baptized into Christ, God pays the debt for our sins. God buys us, and he gives us eternal life. And now it's up to us to show our love, our devotion, our commitment, our appreciation, and our thanksgiving for what he did. And that's where this question comes in. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. You remember at the cross, or just prior to the cross in the garden, when Jesus said, my Father, please let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Jesus paid the ultimate price to do the will of God, and his question to us is, are we going to make that same decision? In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge and accept and submit to him, and he will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Trust the Lord. Put your confidence in the Lord. Put your lives in the Lord's hands and turn away from evil. And so if we're going to call Jesus Lord, it's because we know he knows the way to get us to heaven. John 14, 6, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So as each passing year goes by us, and we learn more and more about how little control we have, we can't even keep our hair from going gray. We can't even stop our skin from wrinkling. We can't stop our bodies from getting weaker and weaker and weaker. And we can't stop the inexorable path toward death. But we can prepare for it. And Jesus wants to help us. And this is not something that's being said because he wants to be the one who's calling all the shots. It's said because he's the only one who knows how to get us there. And if we're going to trust him, then we can't be calling him Lord and then saying, well, you're my Lord, but I don't think I want to do that, and I don't really think I need to do that. And you know, you've said I shouldn't do this, but I don't really see. Where's the trust? Where's the submission? Where's the commitment? Where's the appreciation? He died for me. Shouldn't I trust him and what's good and what's not good? If he was willing to die and in order to make my life complete, why would he turn right around and then give me commands to diminish the quality of my life? He's actually giving me commands. How did Paul put it? He came that we may have life and more abundantly. So, Jesus says, I'm only Lord if you do. Look at what he says. Now, this is the next verse. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them. Remember what he said? Why call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Here's the people who call him Lord, Lord, and do what he says. I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Now, what's he saying here? He is saying, if you trust me, if you put your life in my hand, you're building on a foundation that can never be moved. And if you will trust me, you're just like a man who is smart enough when he's building a house to pay the money to get a good foundation so that when the storm comes, it won't fall. But then he turns around and he says this. He who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. So fast forward to the judgment day. Disciples coming before Jesus. Some who did everything he said to the best of their ability, and when they couldn't do what he said, they repented and they told God, I'm so sorry, I'm trying, I'm failing, but you're right. That's what the word confession means. It means I agree, I say the same thing as God. This is a sin. I know it's a sin. I'm struggling with it. But the person who says, I'm not even going to struggle with it, that's this person right here. And so Jesus fast forwards us to the judgment day and shows how the fall will occur. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Now surely, if anyone was going to get into heaven, it'd be those people who think they're performing miracles, who believe that they are speaking in tongues, who believe that they can cast out demons. But what does Jesus say? I will declare to them, I never knew you. In another passage, he said, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth at the anguish of almost but lost. The Lord wants to help us. He's given us a foundation in the scriptures, a foundation that can't be moved. But we have to trust him 100% all the time. We have to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And so Jesus is warning against this. He knows it's going to happen. He knows, and notice what he says in that very first part there. Many will say to me, there'll be a lot of disciples who just fudge a little bit, but you can't do that. And we have to learn that. And the quicker we learn it, the better we're going to be. Now I'm going to put all these verses up there because I just want us to see them one after another. If you love me, keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Can we see? Why call me Lord and not do what I say? If you don't do what I say, you're building your house on the sand, and many will say to me on the day of judgment, Lord, Lord, and I will have to tell them, I never knew you. Your house is going to fall. And now here he goes on to say, if you truly love me, if you respect me, if you appreciate me, there's so many people in the world today who say, I love Jesus and I appreciate what he did for me. And so you ask them the question, well, are you going to keep his commandments? If the answer is not yes, Jesus says, that's not a love that I can accept. That's not a love that means anything to me. And so, keeping his commandments and loving him. So, as we look at this past year and we prepare for the next year, as we think about the fact that I've got this one more year and I got to get ready. Got to get ready to meet the Lord on the judgment day. I've got to be ready. I've got to be his faithful servant. I've got to, if I want to live eternally with him in heaven, then I have to show my love to him and my respect for him. And so Jesus just tries to make it as clear as he can. If you call me Lord, then do what I say. If you say you love me, keep my commandments. If you say that you are doing or calling me Lord, you have to do the will of my Father in heaven. So the contrast here is between keeping his word and not keeping his word. I've gone ahead and put the different colors here just to see the theme. If you abide in my word, you are truly, or you're my genuine disciples. You're the disciples that I can accept as disciples. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But the opposite is equally true. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. For only the one who abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. The world was in the darkness before the Lord came. He became the light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. And if you will listen to me and follow me, you will walk in the light. And then when he left, he gave his apostles the commission to bring that light to us. Now the issue is very simple. Do we trust Jesus or not? Did he do what the Father sent him to do or not? He says, if we abide in his word, we will be his genuine disciples building on the rock, manifesting our love, our respect, our honor, and our appreciation for God sending him, for him coming and dying, and for his desire for us to be with him in heaven. It's not that God, you know, what did John say? His commandments are not difficult. They're not burdensome. Moses put it like this. His commandments are for our good always. We have to trust the Lord in that. You know, the first time we hear a commandment, sometimes we think to ourselves, that doesn't seem wrong to me. I've done that my whole life. My friends are doing it. But the Lord says, the end of that is death. So now I'm in a box. If I keep doing what I've always done, because I like it, then Jesus says, you can't call me Lord anymore. And I'll have to say to you on that day, you were practicing lawlessness because I told you to do this and you said, no, I'm going to do this. So anyone who goes too far, me, you, our parents, our grandparents, our children, anyone who goes too far and will not abide in the teachings of Christ does not have God. I didn't write this. Jesus said it. I'm only telling you what it says. You will have to make the decision if you're going to abide in this. But Jesus didn't mince any words and he didn't leave us in any doubt. If you call me Lord and don't do what I say, you're not building your house on the rock. If you call me Lord and don't do the will of my Father in heaven, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, Jesus commands are a boundary with fellowship with him. The word fellowship is an interesting word. It just means joint participation. It means that you carry one side of the pew and I carry the other side of the pew. But sometimes we need a fellowship with something much bigger than ourselves. If I have to dig a hole that's 10 feet deep and 40 feet around, I'm going to get the fellowship of a tractor or a backhoe. I'm going to get the fellowship of something that's strong enough to help me get the job done because I can't do it by myself. Fellowship with God is like that. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. I'll be on one side, you'll be on the other side, and I'll do all the heavy lifting, just like the backhoe or just like the semi-truck. If you want to get your product across the country, you don't get fellowship with an individual and say, look, carry this all to New York. You get fellowship with something that can help you get it there. And God wants to be in fellowship with us. But his commands are a boundary of that fellowship. Fellowship, first of all, between truth and error, and fellowship with God and Jesus. But Jesus died, went back to heaven. Nothing was written. We knew nothing about what God wanted us to do. But Jesus had already prepared, just like he did with Moses. God had Moses write the old law. God had the apostles and prophets of Jesus write the new law. He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. He who rejects me, rejects him who sent me. I've noticed a trend over the last two or three decades where people who don't want to do what Jesus said through Paul will try to separate Paul from Scripture. And they'll say something like, Paul only wrote what he thought. But think about that. If you start making rationalizations like that, you're going to fall right into the trap that Jesus said. You're going to call me Lord and not do what I say. Jesus said, if you reject my apostles, you're rejecting me. But you're not just rejecting me, you're rejecting him who sent me. So Jesus validates the entire New Testament. If we accept it, we're building on the rock. If we reject it, we're building on the sand. If there's any command in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, if there's any command in the book of Acts or any of the letters that were written by Paul or Peter or any of the rest of the apostles and prophets, if I call Jesus Lord, I'm going to do it. I have to do it. It's part of my commitment. And so at the end of each year, as we leave this year behind and we move on to the next year, we need to look back and we need to ask ourselves, am I really a disciple? Is there anything I need to do so that this passage here will not trip me up on the judgment day? There's others. God sent Jesus. Jesus taught God's will. Jesus sent the apostles. The apostles taught God's will. I don't know how Jesus could make it any clearer. So we look at the next verse then. As the Father has sent me, I send you. Do we trust Jesus to give us the will of God? Do we trust the apostles to give us the will of Jesus, who's giving us the will of God? Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me. And he who receives me receives him who sent me. You see, Jesus knew this was going to happen. Jesus knew that people were going to try to start dicing up the scriptures and saying, this is Jesus' will and this is not Jesus' will. And Jesus says, you can't do that. The Father sent me. I sent the apostles. If you receive the apostles, you receive me. If you receive me, you receive him who sent me. So at any point where this chain of command is broken, we come back to Jesus' statement. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? I'm the one who told you my apostles are giving you my will. And if you reject them, you're rejecting me. And if you reject me, you're rejecting him who sent me. Why do you call me Lord and not trust and do what I say? So three passages help us understand how Jesus could do that. How could Jesus send the apostles and have complete confidence that they would reveal everything he wanted them to? And so he starts, he introduces the Holy Spirit to us. He says, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And he will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Why call me Lord, Lord, and not believe that? Jesus said these words because he wanted us to understand something. The apostles have taught us all truth. They have taught us all things. They have taught us and helped us to know everything Jesus revealed to them. 16:7, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, did he do that or not? Did he keep his promise? He said he would do it. And then verse 12 and 13, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. You're in too much sorrow. You're in too much grief, and you're too weak, and there's so many things you don't understand yet. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now to that I can only say amen. To that I can only say, thus saith the Lord. I believe this with all my heart. I believe that the entire New Testament, when Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 or 3, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And is profitable for teaching, for instruction, for correction, for doctrine. That the man of God be complete, thoroughly furnished to every good work. And this is why. Now, you've heard about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. In the times of Jesus, when somebody said Jesus' words and Jesus' miracles are not from the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that was blasphemy. When we say the scriptures are not the work of the Holy Spirit, aren't we doing the same thing? Aren't we lowering the scriptures from the Holy Spirit's writings to the writings of the apostles alone? So, summing all of this up, the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father, and he did teach them all things, or Jesus is not Lord. Jesus also sent the Holy Spirit. And the many things Jesus had to say were revealed by the Holy Spirit. That's why I said this morning, we need to make a plan. We need to be reading the scriptures daily. We need to be comparing our lives to the scriptures. We need to show Jesus Christ that we're serious. We want to know his will. We want to make him our Lord. We want to do what he says. We trust him and we recognize that he can help us get to heaven. That's what love is. That's what respect is. That's what submission is. That's what devotion is. We trust Jesus. He has our best interest. And we want to know what he has to say. And so once again, why do we call him Lord if we're not going to do, and we're not going to trust what he says? And the answer is, he's not. It's just a token statement. I think Jesus is my Lord. Now, Paul affirmed, this is how it was done. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written to you, or written already, by which, when you read, you may have or may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it is now being revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. Brethren, when we hold the Bible in our hands, we're holding the revelation of the mystery which has been kept hidden, which has now been revealed through the Holy Spirit to Jesus' holy apostles and prophets. If Jesus is my Lord, I accept that. I know it's true. And I act accordingly. Every word that comes from the mouth of God. Remember what Jesus said about that? Man doesn't live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And that's what the scriptures are. As Paul points out here, the Holy Spirit sent, God sent the Holy Spirit. And by revelation, the Holy Spirit made known the mysteries of God. We hold in our hands the interface between this world and the world to come. The only interface. Just like when I hold a cell phone in my hand, that's the only interface I have to call you if you're somewhere else in the world. I have to use that cell phone. With that cell phone, I can hear what you want to tell me, and I can act accordingly. With the scriptures, we can do that all the way up to heaven. The cell phone that gets us into contact with the Lord are the scriptures. And if we want to know what the Lord wants us to do, we don't have to call him up. We just have to search the scriptures daily to find out what we want to know. And that's what Paul says in verse 4. When you read, you can have my understanding. Well, what's Paul's understanding? By revelation, he understands what God wants us to do. So this is what the scriptures are. If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. Now at this point in the lesson, what am I trying to say? What am I trying to get across here? I'm trying to get across a respect for Scripture. Not for me, not for any church or for anyone that is proclaiming it, but for the Scriptures itself. If we recognize the Scriptures are absolute truth and completely, how did he put it in the proverb? Purified like silver 7 times. Heated up, the dross taken off the top. Now it's silver. Then it's heated up again, and now it's purified silver. After 7 times, you have a high grade silver. That's what God says, I've done with my word. You can trust it. You can take it to the bank. He that rejecteth me and receives not my sayings has that which judges him. The word I have spoken will judge him in the last day. We've got the final exam and we already have the answers. The answers to every question are in the scriptures, and we need to trust that. We need to trust that with all our heart. And so what I'd like to do, because we're getting pretty close to winding down this lesson, what I'd like to do is for each one of us to answer that question. Do we feel that way? Do we have this absolute awe and reverence and respect for the scriptures? You know, we may bicker and we may argue with each other, but when we see a scripture, let all the earth keep silence. That's the answer. And we don't go anymore. There's nowhere else to go. We have to submit to that. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has given his Holy Spirit to us. Why call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? And so Jesus sums it all up in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. We will not go before God on the judgment day to find out that there was something Jesus said that wasn't true or something that Jesus said that someone else has abrogated. All authority is His. If He said it, then on the judgment day, we will be saved because we followed it. If He said it and we decided we'd find a better way, we will be lost because we didn't do what He said. So Jesus sent the apostles. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's how I became a disciple. The apostles and prophets taught you and I how to become disciples, just like Jesus said they would. Jesus has the authority, but remember what He said. He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives Him that sent me. He who rejects you rejects me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. His disciples, made by the apostles, must observe all things He commanded them that were revealed by the Holy Spirit and are now recorded in the Scriptures. Teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. That's all that we have in the Scriptures. From Matthew to Revelation, all we have are the things that Jesus commanded them. They perfectly did the job. They had to because the Holy Spirit was guiding them and leading them every step of the way. Not a single thought of Paul got into the Scriptures. Paul was just a pen. You know, when I'm writing a letter, do I say, oh no, the pen just made me say something that I didn't agree with? That pen doesn't have any ability to do anything but what I tell it to do. I'm directing it from start to finish. And the Holy Spirit has done that for the apostles, and that's why Jesus can say, I can be with you always, even to the end of the age, if you observe what I commanded and the apostles wrote down. So it's pretty simple. Another year has passed. Are we closer to these truths? Do we have this awe, this reverence, this respect? Like I said, it doesn't matter who is preaching this. What matters is that it's in the Word given by the Holy Spirit as Jesus commands. So, if we believe and act on this, Jesus is our Lord because we do. Because we trust. We do the Scriptures, we trust the Scriptures. We build on the foundation of the rock. We show our love for Jesus and God, and we are trusting and submitting to the Holy Spirit. There's a lot on the line. When I say in my heart, I'm not going to do that. I don't think that this is something that I have to do. It was just written by Paul. No, Paul was written. It was written by the Holy Spirit through Paul. If we reject it, Jesus is our Lord in name only. And He tells us, with love and care and concern, I'll have to profess I never knew you unless you do what I ask you to do. You have to trust me. You have to trust me implicitly, completely, and without any question. If I say to do something, you do it. Because if you don't, you're practicing lawlessness. If we don't keep the Scriptures, if this is not our intent and our goal, we don't love God. And those are not what I think. It's what Jesus said. And so, brethren, as we conclude our lesson this evening, there's a huge bridge here between us and God, and it's called the Scriptures. And those Scriptures are our guide. They're our compass. They're our light. They're our map. They show us how to go. If you don't trust the map, if you don't trust the compass, even if you have a compass, you'll still be lost. And even if you have the Bible, you'll still be lost. And so as this year comes to an end and a new year begins, we have to make that decision. Will we trust in the Lord with all our heart? Will we live our lives according to the Scriptures? Will we be a true disciple of Jesus? And that's what I'd like to leave with you. Next Sunday morning, we will talk about 2022 and what kind of goals and what kind of plans and what kind of attitudes we should develop in the new year. And so as we pick up our song of encouragement this evening, let's all give careful thought to these words. And then let's ask ourselves a question. Do these words make me feel good or uncomfortable? Do these words give me confidence and joy and happiness, or do they give me fear and concern? And if the answer is I'm afraid, then God has an answer. Obey the gospel, or confess those sins that you've committed to Him or to one another, so that we can hear those words next time with joy and happiness and contentment. So to sing the song of encouragement this evening, number 348, let's give careful thought to these things, and let's not leave here almost persuaded. Let's leave here with a commitment. 2022 is going to be far better than 2021, because I'm going to make some decisions and some goals that will bring that about. So if we can help you in any way, please let us know while we together stand aside.